Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Pass this jobs bill.
Pass this jobs bill.
Pass this jobs bill.
You should pass it right away.
Pass this jobs bill.
You should pass it again.
I'm Amy Eddings, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Good morning, everybody. It's been a week since President Obama made his job speech. And while we all thought the toughest sell politically would be to Republicans, now it's skepticism from a few Democrats that's drawing attention. As the president travels the country pitching his American Jobs Act, Democratic leadership and White House advisors have been meeting with the Democrats who are balking at the $447 billion package. While Republicans have been objecting to tax increases in the bill, some Democrats aren't pleased about payroll tax cuts, the level of spending, and the proposal to close tax loopholes for oil companies. These are all elements of this package. And while it's still just that, a package, some indications from both sides of the aisle are that this will become a pick-and-choose bill or a la carte. What's left to be seen is which elements of the plan appeal to Democrats and Republicans and what might be ordered from that a la carte menu first. Joining me now is Jennifer Steinhauer, New York Times congressional correspondent, who wrote this story for the paper this week. Welcome back to WNYC, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.
You spoke to Democrats in both houses who are unhappy with elements of this jobs bill. How significant is their opposition? Is it enough to make a difference in the vote, or is it a few senators and representatives who eventually will toe the party line?
It's absolutely significant for a couple of reasons. First of all, as you know, the Democrats enjoy only a marginal majority in the Senate, so they would all be needed pretty much, including a Republican or a handful of Republicans, to pass any bill in the Senate. So it looks the outlook there is shaky, to be sure. And ostensibly, it would need, if this were to go to the House in this form, it seems impossible it would pass the House in any regard in this form, because obviously the Republicans control that chamber. But if they could find something that was that Republicans could get on board with, they would inevitably probably need some Democrats to make that pass there too.
And how deep is their opposition?
No, if we can determine at this point how deep the opposition is, but I think what's significant about it is that it's varied. As you pointed out, top of the show, the Republicans are basically balking at both what they call sort of the stimulus-like features of the plan and the fact that the pay-fors, as they call them, the ways that it gets paid for are through a lot of different types of tax increases. Where the Democratic opposition crosses a lot of different ideological boundaries and is sort of all over the map. You have some of the more liberal Democrats who don't like the payroll tax cut extension, which is probably the piece of it that enjoys the most overall bipartisan support, generally speaking. And then you have some individuals with their own concerns for something, for example, like Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, the senator who doesn't like the fact that a piece of it would be through closing loopholes for oil and gas companies. So when you take a parochial interest of a senator whose individual vote is very important, and you take another more ideological or broad-based concern that attracts a lot of different Democrats, you're looking at some trouble. And the other piece of it is that Democrats really don't want to be, by and large, and depending on their, unless they're coming from a very liberal district, they don't want to be associated with something necessarily that's being that's parallel to the stimulus bill, even psychologically, because right now they consider that type of language a liability. And so that's where you're getting the pushback on the bill as sort of a one large dinner, if you will. People would rather have it cut off into different bite-sized meals.
Listeners, we want to hear from you on this. Democrats and Republicans are picking and choosing what they like and what has to go from the president's jobs bill. So what are your preferences? Are there deal breakers for you and especially small business owners? We want to hear from you. Call in and tell us what's in the jobs bill or what isn't that would make a difference in whether you start hiring more people. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. As always, you can reach us on Twitter, Facebook, and at WNYC.org. Just click on the Brian Lehrer Show to leave your comment. You mentioned Senator Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, who doesn't like the repeal of tax cuts for the oil industry. Are there other loopholes that might be cut by the end of these negotiations? Landrieu said, specifically quoting in your piece, that she doesn't support a repeal of tax cuts for the oil industry unless there are other industries that contribute. Any particular industry being floated out there?
Well, I think that she was addressing specifically President Obama's jobs bill, but you have to pivot here in the conversation to the parallel negotiation that's going on, which is with the 12-member bipartisan congressional joint committee to look at the deficit. And that committee is obviously looking at a lot of different types of loopholes on the corporate and perhaps the personal side. And the thing that Landrieu is concerned about is singling out a particular industry. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with if, in fact, tax reform is part of their agenda, which everyone expects it to be. That could run parallel course to the negotiations and discussions of the president's bill.
I'm Amy Edding, sitting in for Brian Lehrer this Friday morning, and I'm with Jennifer Steinhauer. She's the New York Times congressional correspondent, and we are talking about Democrats' opposition to Obama's jobs bill. Jennifer, in the meantime, the Progressive Caucus has also released its own jobs plan, unlikely as it is to get much attention. It's being presented as a farther left alternative to the White House proposal. It includes clean energy and infrastructure plans. Any of their proposals likely to be incorporated in any way?
I think it would be fair to say that the progressive or far left corners of the Hill right now are not going to be taken too seriously in any legislation that actually is slated for passage, although that's not to say that they don't have any ideas that have any course parallel whatsoever to the president or even something that could be in a final joint commission report.
White House strategist David Axelrod was on ABC's Good Morning America on Tuesday talking about this idea of breaking the bill apart and choosing a la carte what people like and don't like. Here he is.
We want them to act now on this package. We're not in a negotiation to break up the package, and it's not an a la carte menu. It is a strategy to get this country moving.
So, Jennifer, is this an all-or-nothing situation for the president, or was that Tuesday and this is Friday, and now we're talking about a completely different political atmosphere?
It's difficult to believe that everybody working in the White House team and their economic team can possibly believe what Mr. Axelrod said simply because of not only the pushback within their own party, but that because most bills don't look exactly like what any executive offers to a legislative branch at the end of the day. And I do think, in fact, other people from the White House have acknowledged that there are pieces of this that enjoy more bipartisan support than others. And so it's hard to imagine, given the current circumstances, that that's exactly how it's going to play out.
We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Ellie from Rockland County, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Ellie.
Yes, good morning. And it's very sad. There's nothing that the president can do or the Congress can do to save my industry. I am stuck in a position where so many of my clients are now, they're going overseas. They're going to China.
Ellie, what's your industry?
It's the jewelry industry, and where we manufacture here in Manhattan, we have regulations, and I approve of these regulations. I don't poison the water. I take care of the air that's leaving my manufacturing company. I pay insurance. I pay payroll taxes, and designers do not care. All those big name designers that you see advertised all over, everything is made in China. Where I'm sorry to say that the Chinese manufacturers, they have no regulations. They poison their drinking water. They poison the air. But people want to wear their fancy jewelry, and they don't want to pay New York City prices. And I have let people go.
Ellie,
I can't afford my shop anymore. So it's very frustrating. There's nothing the president can do.
Ellie, thank you for your call. Jennifer Steinhauer of The Times, does Ellie have a point? Are some of the proposals being made by President Obama just really in the wrong direction, like extending the payroll tax? Should we really be talking about trade agreements and tariffs on imports?
Well, I'm not in a position to be advising the White House what they should be talking about, but I can comment that the Republicans in the House have decided that their jobs program for the second half of the year here is going to focus a lot on deregulation, and they would argue that small business owners are hurt by regulations, and that's going to be a big part of their agenda. And I would imagine that you will see a lot of bills concerning regulations coming out of the House, passing the House, but then probably not having much of a shelf life at all in the Senate.
What's the most popular part of the bill for both Democrats and Republicans? If this gets pulled apart, what will be the first thing to be ordered from it?
Well, again, I think you have to look at what the Joint Commission recommends, because I think those will be parallel tracks. And if there is something that the Joint Commission on the Deficit recommends that is parallel with what Republicans like and what's in Obama's jobs plan, those would obviously probably have the best chance. I think that the payroll tax holiday extension for employees and for small businesses is something that could probably attract quite a bit of bipartisan support. There's also talk of basing a program on a program that's in Georgia called Georgia Works, where long-term unemployed individuals do sort of apprenticeships, if you will, for companies where they're not paid, but they get job training for a certain number of weeks that helps both those employees and also gives people new skills. And that's something that I have heard very little negative reaction to. Of course, there are other versions of that. Some senators and Congress members of Congress and the House also have their own kind of twist on that, so it may not be exactly like the Georgia program, but that concept seems to be quite popular on the Hill.
We're taking your calls. Anne from Manhattan, you're on WNYC with the New York Times' Jennifer Steinhauer. Hi, Anne.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm concerned about what they call the payroll tax deduction. In the same jobs speech, Obama, you know, suggested continuing the reduction of the contributions that employees pay, and also giving a reduction to the part that the employers pay. Now, for a long time, they've been talking about a major crisis in Social Security, that soon we won't have enough to pay the people who are retired now and the future retirees. So how is this going to help?
Anne, are you a registered Democrat?
I'm a Democrat. I've always voted Democrat, but I'm not registered.
Mm. So this is your own personal pushback on this.
Well, and people I know feel the same way. Mm. If there's a crisis, why would they think of doing that?
Right. And thanks for your call. Jennifer, do you want to tackle that? Why is this happening? Why is the president asking for an extension of these cuts? And we know that Congressman Peter DeFazio, a Democrat from Oregon, is also concerned about more tax cuts in the midst of high unemployment and a faltering economy.
Well, there are many Democrats who don't believe in the concept of tax cuts. They don't believe in it for pretty much any income group, although most of them, I would say, the majority of Democrats who don't like tax cuts do not care for them for higher income groups. But the concept of the payroll tax cut is that, by and large, it benefits more the middle and lower income folks because it is capped. And the notion is that, like any tax cut, the idea behind it is that if individuals are having less of their paycheck taken out to pay for something in government, that they'll spend it in the economy and it will help stimulate the economy. Now, there's also been an argument that particular payroll tax cut, though, that money goes towards Social Security, although that's for the time being, the extension would be for the time of the extension, that would be taken from the general fund. So it doesn't deplete that fund as per se. But that is one piece of opposition to it, and that comes from both sides, actually.
So this isn't making the Deficit Reduction Committee's job even harder by proposing an extension of the payroll tax cuts?
I don't know if it makes it harder. I mean, that's a piece, that's something that they would consider. That's among many menu options that they'll look at. I mean, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. There have been all kinds of commissions and committees and suggestions from members of Congress, and the president, in fact, is going to make his own suggestions for deficit reduction to the committee, I believe, next week. So they're looking at a menu of ideas, and their job is ostensibly to propose from among them.
Yesterday, Speaker of the House John Boehner commented on the Debt Reduction Super Committee during a speech at the Economic Club in Washington.
Now, tax increases, I think, are off the table, and I don't think they're a viable option for the Joint Committee. It's a very simple equation. Tax increases destroy jobs, and the Joint Committee is a jobs committee.
That's the first time the super committee has been talked about that way. Senator Harry Reid chastised the speaker for those comments. How does that super committee mandate from Boehner affect the jobs bill conversation?
Well, you have to listen to what he's saying. He's saying he doesn't believe in having any tax increases. That's been what Mr. Boehner has said all along, and that's been what most Republicans have said all along. But he doesn't use the word revenues. He doesn't say there will be no option to include new revenues in a plan. And so it's possible that the committee will come up with things like closing tax loopholes that one could argue are not as per se tax increases. So on one hand, it does sound like he's shutting the door in their face. But if you really listen to what he's saying, it's a little more subtle than that.
Greg from Northport, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Greg.
Hi, how are you? My comment is this. I think the package is too small. I mean, Congress and the Senate can't agree on anything, and by the time it gets weeded down, it's simply not going to be enough. And then at the end of the day, they're going to say, see, the stimulus didn't work, and the top didn't work, because it got weeded down, and it's just not big enough. And the other thing is, if the government is going to lend banks money at 0%, there should be a mandate that the banks have to lend part of that money that they get for free out to small businesses and take it out of the hands of government and put it in the private sector, but have the government force that to happen by saying, hey, do you want to go to our window and borrow money at 0%? Part of that has to go to loans, to redo mortgages, small businesses. You just can't take that money and invest it for yourself, which they have done.
Greg, thanks for your call. Jennifer Steinhauer, Greg's point of view, probably anathema to Democrats who are very afraid, as you mentioned earlier, of having this jobs bill be linked to a stimulus package, which President Obama has really been hammered hard for by Republicans who have said over and over again they think it was a big, expensive failure.
Well, there are different views on the stimulus bill, obviously. There are some economists who argue that it wasn't big enough. There are some people who argue that it did nothing, and there are some who argue that it had minimal impact, but that it kept the job crisis from being worse. So there are a lot of different views on the stimulus plan, obviously.
Let's get back to this idea of Democratic opposition. From what Congressman Hoyer, House Minority Whip, is saying, you'd think that the president does not need 100% of the caucus to get this bill passed. It seems he's talking about it as a package deal. We have a clip of him. Here it is. Whoops, we're waiting to reload that clip. Here's Steny Hoyer.
You'd be surprised if Democrats all said amen to any proposal that's been made, whether it was made by Bill Clinton or Barack Obama. That didn't happen in my experience. But the fact is, I think there is overwhelming support, frankly, in the country for getting a comprehensive jobs bill passed through the Congress of the United States in short term. Stop the squabbling, stop the bickering. Are there differences? Yes. But this is a proposal the president believes.
So, Jennifer, just to sum up, is this ultimately pointing out Democrats having some problems with this? Is this actually aiding and abetting Republicans' point of view that Democrats can't get their act together, that they traditionally can't find unity on anything, that the party is in shambles, or at the end of the day, will President Obama see this jobs bill find widespread support in both the Senate and the House?
Well, I'm not sure who you're referring to in the aiding and abetting component, but I don't think his jobs bill will find widespread support in the House because, as you know, the House is not controlled by Democrats. So how Democrats in the House feel about it is not insignificant. It's not meaningless, but it's much more meaningful what Republicans feel about it in the House. The Senate, as you know, is controlled by Democrats, and so it's more important to him and quite essential, in fact, that he has all of his Democrats, or the vast majority and some Republicans, to support it. That's the only way legislation gets passed, with the majority of people who are supporting it. So he'll have to come up, as all presidents do, with some type of compromise with Congress if he would like to see a legislative victory.
And President Obama is going to be speaking on Monday. What's the expectation of what he's going to talk about?
Are you speaking about the Joint Committee, about his recommendations to them?
Yes.
It's not clear what he's going to be recommending, but you can look to some of components of his speech where he talked about the fact that he felt that there needed to be some changes to the Medicare program, and I would imagine that he will talk about some of the many different types of suggestions that he's made in terms of raising revenues and closing these loopholes and other things that we've discussed.
And, of course, he'll probably say again and again, let's get this bill passed. We'll leave it there. My guest has been Jennifer Steinhauer, congressional correspondent for The New York Times. Thanks so much, Jennifer, for joining us here on WNYC.
Thank you.
Coming up next, it's not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday, and we will be following up on some things that came up on the show this week, including how the poverty line is calculated. I'm Amy Edding, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. This is WNYC. Stay tuned.